This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Hope you're well.
Boker Tov, one of the interesting things about Israel is what you can buy in supermarkets. And different times of the year, obviously, makes them a bit more colorful. We're now over the Shavuot dairy rush, and the shelves were quite empty of dairy following Shavuot for quite some time. But a supermarket chain in Israel by the name of Osher Ad has begun selling cars in their supermarket.
What?
And you can literally go into the supermarket and buy a car. You're required to pay a deposit of 1,800 shekels. It's obviously being done in conjunction with a car dealership. And the idea is that once you've paid your deposit of 1,800 shekels, you will obviously be required to pay up the rest within a day or two. But you can literally get your car, brand new car, within 2 days of having bought it at the supermarket. Not only can you buy it at the supermarket, but the price that they're offering it at is between 20 and 40,000 shekels cheaper than what the regular market price for the same car is. They're offering one kind of car, a Kia Sportage Urban Turbo, 0 kilometers, brand new, right off the out of the wrappers. And for that, you are required to pay 139,990 shekels, which, as I say, is quite a bit cheaper than what you would buy the same car for in the market. And this is after Osher Ad had previously done a similar kind of stunt with iPhones. A few months ago, they somehow managed to bring iPhones in, and they began selling these iPhones off the shelf in their store for quite a little bit cheaper than what you could buy it elsewhere in the market. And of course, Apple were very unhappy about all of this. So if you fancy going shopping for a car today, Osher Ad is your supermarket.
It's insane. Israel just becomes weirder and weirder, and this is in a good way. Israel and Lebanon have renewed peace talks in the U.S., has this had any impact on the war in the north?
Yesterday, senior members of Israel and the Lebanese delegation met at the U.S. State Department for what was labeled to be a two-day discussion around a ceasefire. And let's not forget that when we say Lebanese delegation, Lebanese representatives, they don't necessarily represent Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is really the party that we are warring against at the moment in the north of Israel. But interestingly, the flow of events, I discussed yesterday with you that President Trump had come out warning Israel that troops would not go into Beirut, and warning Hezbollah that they would not attack the northern border. And the Israeli government, instead of seeing this, as I did yesterday, in a somewhat negative light, with the president of the U.S. somehow trying to limit Israel's freedom of operation from a military perspective, the government decided to turn it on its head and said, well, if the equation is that we will not send our troops into Beirut and Hezbollah won't fire on our border towards Israel, then if they do fire towards us, we can send our troops into Beirut. Let's draw that equation, because that's what the U.S. president effectively linked, made that equation. And so that was the announcement that came out yesterday from the Israeli government. However, in fact, what's happened is that the attacks against The northern border, in particular the Israeli northern border, have really calmed down since yesterday. In fact, I saw a report that said that there hasn't been any attacks against the citizens of northern Israel for almost a day now, while these talks in the United States are continuing. And in fact, the Home Front Command has come out releasing some of the restrictions that were placed on citizens in the northern part of Israel. People were not going to school, children were not going to school, and people were not going about their daily business because of the threat of these attacks, not only the explosive drones, but also other missiles that were being fired from Hezbollah into northern Israel. And yet, over the last day, it's all gone very, very quiet. And so, in answer to your initial question, Howard, it seems as if though these peace talks really have had some impact. And certainly the statement by President Trump warning Hezbollah not to fire against the northern border of Israel seems somehow to have taken root somewhere. And it has calmed down. We're not necessarily rejoicing quite yet or jumping to any conclusions, because I think that that would be far too early. There is still another day of talks that is scheduled for today at the State Department in Washington. But we certainly had a day of a relative quiet yesterday, which of course is always welcome. It's not to say that the IDF have withdrawn from Lebanon. It's not to say that the IDF have even stopped their operations that they have been conducting in Lebanon. Those continue still without any impact, and there is a certain attempt to try to clean out as much as possible from the threat, the missile storage facilities, the launch facilities that are prevalent not only in southern Lebanon, that area south of the Litani, but the IDF is also operating further north than that in order to try and clear out as much as possible. But certainly we have to take each day as it comes, and yesterday was a welcome break for citizens of northern Israel. I hope that that will continue today as well.
The U.S. has attacked Iranian targets in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran attacked Bahrain and Kuwait. Does this impact the peace negotiations?
Well, if you believe President Trump, then no, because he says, well, the negotiations are continuing. I mean, the crazy thing is that Iran, some official Iranian source said there haven't been contacts between the U.S. and the representatives of Iran for 4 days. The president of the United States responded by saying, we did have contact 4 days ago. We had contact 3 days ago. We had contact 2 days ago. We even had contact yesterday. So he is claiming that there is this ongoing communication, negotiation to try to come to this agreement that he feels is still available to be reached. But of course, yesterday, there was a little bit of a breakdown in the Straits of Hormuz when it's not clear to me exactly who started, but what we know is that Iran fired missiles, ballistic missiles and drones in the direction of Kuwait and in the direction of Bahrain. We understand that both of those Gulf countries activated the anti-missile systems, and we understand that the United States also helped in order to protect those two countries against the attack from Iran. We are told by the Central Command, the US Central Command, that even though these missiles were fired, none of them hit their targets, and that there was no damage caused and nobody was injured in the process. Now, whether they didn't hit their targets because they were off target or because they were intercepted, I think it's probably a combination of both, but it seems as if though quite a number of missiles and drones were fired in the process. And the United States responded by firing at certain control systems that are located on Iran's Keshem Island, which is an island right there within the Straits of Hormuz in a relatively strategic place, not only because it has these communication systems on it that are being used by the Iranian military, but of course because of its strategic location in the Straits of Hormuz that allows it to do many things, particularly during this time of conflict. So very, very difficult for us to really read the situation right now and to understand where things are going. But if we believe the president of the US, then there is an agreement to be achieved and that we're going in the right direction. US Secretary of State Marco Rubio even made a statement saying that he felt that Iran was coming closer to the US in terms of the nuclear program. So that was an interesting statement. Whether I don't know whether I can believe that or not, but his words were that Iran is opening up on the nuclear issue. I don't exactly know what opening up means, but I guess he was trying to send a positive statement that there is some progress on the US achieving what it wants to achieve, particularly with regard to getting its hands on the enriched uranium and with regard to preventing Iran from embarking on any nuclear program, at least within the foreseeable future. But as I say, the Iranians continuously come up with statements saying that's not true. We'll just have to see ultimately who falls on their sword and whether there isn't an agreement to be achieved. But on the face of things, I think it's still very, very difficult.
Just before we move on to the other topic I wanted to ask you about, yesterday we spoke about this conversation between, this alleged conversation between Trump. Well, there was a conversation between Trump and Netanyahu. What happened on that conversation was, we spoke about that. But then later yesterday, I started to see reports that in fact it might not have been true that Donald Trump was so aggressive, personal, and insulting to Netanyahu. Did you hear anything further about that?
I haven't really heard anything further about that. And to be fair, I mean, the Prime Minister's office hasn't really responded to these claims. But I did see an article that said that, you know, some Israeli source and an unnamed source has rejected the report that Trump insulted Netanyahu during what was considered to be a heated call. It's very, very difficult for us to really know, Howard, because, you know, on the one hand, conversations like this in past years would usually be kept very private and there would be no press reports about it and nobody would discuss any of it at all. That was like, you know, the old way of doing international diplomacy. These days, everything seems to be written about almost before it happens. And in particular, President Trump is enthusiastic about getting things out on Truth Social almost as they're happening, with all his capital letters and with all his very flamboyant language that he likes to use, and highly threatening, because, you know, he uses that not only to report fact, but indeed to try somehow to engineer a certain situation by saying that things have already happened when potentially they haven't. So my caution for myself and indeed for listeners out there is be very, very careful about what you hear and what you listen to and what you believe from what is being written, because there always seems to be a counter argument. It's very difficult for us to know whether this heated conversation really did take place. But it's interesting that the Prime Minister's office has remained silent, even though President Trump is very enthusiastic to try to advertise everything, particularly anything that would show him as being his, you know, type A alpha personality ruling the world, and of course everybody loving him, which is the most important thing.
Most important indeed. The IDF has killed an October 7th terrorist in Gaza. Is there an operation to pursue October 7th terrorists?
Undoubtedly. And the IDF has their names and has their details, and there is certainly a certain group within the IDF whose job it is to single out those people, particularly those who were the ringleaders or the commanders in the forces, and to single them out and to pursue them, because the damage that they have done and the ideology that they spread amongst those in Gaza is very, very damaging for us. And so yesterday, when we heard that Yusuf Aish Awad Ramadan was eliminated by the IDF, there were no tears that were shed for him. He was one of those who kidnapped Alon Ohel, who we recall as being the pianist, along with Hirsch Goldberg Pollin, who unfortunately did not survive to be released. Also Elia Cohen and Or Levy. And they were kidnapped from a roadside bomb shelter after many, many other people within that shelter were actually killed. And we know that Hirsch when he was kidnapped already had an injured hand, and the reason that his hand was injured was because he was the one who was picking up the grenades that were being thrown into that roadside shelter, which was supposed to be a shelter to protect people from missiles being fired from Gaza. But those shelters were never designed for hand-to-hand combat, for terrorists being right there, throwing missiles into the shelter with when the entrance was open, so that they could literally throw missiles in, throw hand grenades in. And Hirsch was the one who was picking up these hand grenades and throwing them back out again in order to try to protect those people who were in the shelter. And one of the grenades exploded in his hand. And of course, that's what injured his hand. He was like that during the entire time of his captivity until, unfortunately, he was summarily executed before the IDF could get to him. But Alon Ohel did survive to be released. And he yesterday was delighted to hear that this individual had finally been pursued and eliminated. And I just wonder what listeners think about the concept of pursuing these terrorists, the ringleaders, the commanders, those who were responsible for carrying out October the 7th. Is this revenge, or is there a certain operational justification and potentially closure, I suppose, for some of those who had to suffer at the hands of these individuals, knowing that our army has finally brought them what we feel is justice, even though it's relatively rough justice, but indeed justice, because we do collect up the information and we do know who's involved. So we can open that discussion for those who want to participate. I think it certainly is an interesting discussion. And undoubtedly, we're going to throw in Jewish law and Jewish practice. And what about Jewish morals? You know, how do we link it all together to come up with the right answer?
That is where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Let us have your thoughts, your reaction. 061-895-1019. I'm Howard Feldman. It's 8 o'clock.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.